Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Moment Is Now. I'm Stephanie Patterson, the Diva of Divination, Lady Oracle Tarot, and with me today is my much-beloved cohort, Linda Becker. How are you this morning, Linda?
I'm fabulous, Miss Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I just got my one of my old novels uploaded onto the Google Play platform so people can download it. That was an exciting thing. And, you know, it was a technology, you know, 500 and Stephanie zip up until this week, and then suddenly the light went on, and I started researching, and man, it just took off like a rocket. I was really excited. So, yes, I am coming into the 21st century, people. I am very happy.
Wonderful. And that's being offered to everybody off of the Google? Was it on Kindle, too?
It's on Kindle, too, and it's under Stephanie Patterson, The Woman in Question. And it's a download of 99 cents. So, you know, for people that want to spend a little bit, it's a good story. I'm very happy with it. I'm in the midst of writing another one. This one will be a historical romance, but I'm excited about that too. But what I'm also excited about today is our show, Summoning the Warrior. And Linda, I know you have so much information on that. And so I want to turn it over to you. And you talked about your goddess gathering last Sunday, which I was unfortunately, well, I wasn't able to make it, but I had a visit from back east, so that was cool. But tell us what happened at the goddess gathering and how things came about and what you guys discovered there.
Well, as always, we usually have quite a few people here. The goddess gathering is really just a group of psychics that live in the area where we all get together. Everybody has psychic abilities and in different degrees, and they come and we gather at my house, and it's like a potluck. But we spend the day reading our cards, reading cards for each other and getting information for each other. And once you get a room full of psychics, everybody has a lot of information, and it usually is very productive for all of us. And it was, of course, the first gathering of the year, which the first and last gathering is the most exciting because we get a preview of what's coming this year in our own personal lives as well as a collective. But what was really pointed out to us during the whole day was that we're moving from our personal expansion and growth, which won't stop, but the focus is going to be more expanded into the oneness, the connection that all of us have. And that's where the warrior shows up. Besides, we have the warrior within, but the warrior is not just a physical fighting warrior. It's more about expanding the warrior. It has a lot to do with connecting with your energy within. The warrior that I'm talking about is the warrior of light, and that basically just means that there's a part of you that's trying to bring forth the light and trying to share it into the world. And that's what I call the warrior of light, that because it's a battle that we're fighting, the light against the dark basically is what's going on here. And so this isn't a physical battle that we're facing, it's an energetic battle. So when I talk about the warrior coming out and the warrior getting stronger, it has everything to do with bringing the light to the planet, not just in your part of your everyday life, but in a bigger picture. And that's what was really brought forward, is that it's not just about us singularly.
Okay, let me stop you right there for a minute, and let's go back to what you were saying about a battle between light and dark. So is this on a universal scale? Are we taking it down to the personal level? Is it a bit of both? Because what I'm wondering is, hearkening it back to mythology and religion, about the battle of good and evil. So could you elaborate on what is different and what you're saying about a battle between light and dark energetically? Besides the moral component?
What I'm talking about is, it's an easy definition. Carrying the light or expanding the light or working with the light is all about bringing, it's not just positive and negative, it's what creates life and what is best for the planet in general, not personally. And it is universal because whatever we do here expands out into the universe. So it's what supports the planet and life on the planet and what does not support life on the planet. That's pretty much what it boils down to. Supporting life and creativity and expansion and an evolution, that's all part of what the light brings with it. It's a higher vibration, so it's very creative, and it expands and creates all the living things on the planet. So that's what I talk about with the light and the dark. And it's okay. Not like good and evil. I mean, people right. can judge it that way, but it's just about, it's, you know, us making daily choices. What brings more light to the planet, you know, starts with what brings more light into our life, what brings more positive
Correct.
Actions into our life, positive thoughts,
okay.
things that help goodness expand, I guess, if you want to call it good and evil. I mean, because we make choices every day, but now it's going to be not just so much a personal choice. It's going to be we're going to start thinking more about the planet than our personal lives.
So what our relevancy is to an entire existence, really, our place in reality and what we're really here to do.
That's right. It's about your personal choice expanding out. So when people are making choices, it's more about not so much what's going to serve me, but what's going to serve the planet in a whole. And that's what you're seeing with all of this, not advertisement, but all this exposure of vegan eating is all about supporting the planet, all about making choices that help the planet instead of hinder the planet. You know, which is best for the planet, if we how they process meat or whatever it is. You know, it's like making choices that benefit the planet, and that's what this,
mm-hmm.
the whole Sunday was about. People realizing that we're expanding out this year to what's best for the planet, not just so much what's best for us, because we are the planet itself.
Yeah. So what would you say would be the first step for people that are, you know, listening and they go, well, you know, here's my inner warrior. And so often in the past, people have attributed the inner warrior to somebody who's going to come out and fight your battles for you, who's going to be aggressive and assertive, and that's only part of it. But how would you suggest people starting to explore and tap into that warrior energy and where to start looking for it?
I think the best place and the more clarity you'll get from what your warrior is trying to bring forth is when you're making choices, think of the bigger picture, you know, and choices. And remember, our basic power in this reality, physical power, has to do with where we put our money. So whatever you're supporting with your money is where you're putting your power and your light. So I think it's people recognizing and making choices about where they put their money. You know, is it a company that you want to support, or is it not a company that you want to support? And we're already seeing this, like in the grocery store, buy locally, buy from the farmers. Then they don't have to fly it here, or they don't have to bring the food far away. It's all of these little things where you're going to see all these little shops that are making their own soaps, and it's all about trying not to create so much pollution, seeing the bigger picture, because every choice that we make affects ourselves, but it affects everybody else on the planet. And that's what I think we're going to see a lot of this year, is that what I choose to do with my money or with my personal life affects the whole planet. And that's what the warrior is bringing forth. Look at the big picture. That's what she kept saying Sunday, was look at the big picture. It's not just about you.
So it's connecting, and it's no more the sense of isolation where, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray, or I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to go inside myself and try to make it better as I better my own life and my own existence. It's now I'm going to find the connectors. Now I'm going to find what I can do, how I can move forward with an action. So we'd say in tarot, that's wand action. That's the 1, 2, 3. But getting back to something that you and I discussed a couple of weeks ago, and I think it has something to do with this new consciousness about the warrior. That's why I bring it up. I went into a meditation, and at one point, it was kind of like, there I was, as anybody that does meditative alternate states, you know, you find yourself in another place. And suddenly it was like I was being shown the connections and how endless they are. And so I'm not surprised that this group that when I have the opportunity to, I love to go and visit, that you guys were seeing the same thing. And I think if we were able to contact other groups around the world, we would find that more people are having this, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. That was the message, since this was the first reading, that was the message that we're going to really see the warriors show up this year to show us the way, you know, for the connections. Just like you said, the choices that you make, you know, is affecting the whole world. And that's pulling us out of our own self importance into, oh my gosh, you know, that this is affecting the world. If I buy this or if I do this, then where is it really coming from? And it's just that expansion that we really need, because this is the planet we're all living on, and there's no spaceship taking us somewhere else if this gets messed up where we can't live.
That's right.
So I think that's right. The warrior, she's wanting to come out and show us the big picture. We're all connected. We're all brothers and sisters, so let's take care of each other.
I'd like to do a quick segue into support of astrology on this. Mars right now is in Pisces, and that's a very imaginative and sensitive and creative time. But Mars requires involvement, and Mars is called the warrior planet. And that Martian energy, sometimes it can be volatile, but sometimes it's the surge that we need to commit, to get involved, and to be active.
Awesome.
And I also wanted to point out that Mercury is in Aquarius right now. That, to use a phrase that Linda's been using this morning, that's big picture stuff. It's seeing the whole. It's seeing beyond yourself, big thoughts and concepts. It's suddenly like, oh, wow, the light bulb goes on and you get it. So, again, we can see this thing. We're being supported on a cosmic level.
We are.
So, yay.
Yes, I see that. It correlates together with what's going up out there, is what's happening down here as well. And that's another form of being aware of the whole picture. We're being guided in so many ways. Just we need to take time to listen and to be responsible. It's more about being responsible.
Do you have a meditation or something that you can suggest to our listeners if they want to meet their warrior or, you know, go into this space where they can connect and reach out past themselves?
Yes, usually I did teach a class last year that was 6 weeks that was connecting to your warrior, but it's not that it's that hard. You just go in and you get quiet, and a lot of times you just find a path to walk on, with your intent being to meet your warrior, because you want her or his guidance right now as we're moving through 2015. It's really, really important. And then that's just what I teach people. You just find the path, whether it's on the beach or it's in the forest, wherever you feel most comfortable at. The scene will change as you move towards the warrior. And a lot of times you'll meet the warrior, and he or she will be sitting on a bench or on the ground or just standing. There was a lot of the different students had different pictures of where they had met their warrior. And as even my warrior, when I was working with her early on in my life, I did several meditations, and she just would walk and point at things. She would never talk to me, but it's not that way now. But a lot of people experience that they'll show you things, and they'll make that connection. And all you have to do is, once the connection's made, and the more that you do it, the faster you can make that connection. In your everyday life, you could just say, what is the best choice right here, you know, when you're making choices? Or give me some guidance around this, and she will appear. But it takes a while for you to get that connection strong enough to where you could just ask her to advise you. And or mine's a female, of course, and she will she'll appear in your mind and give you some suggestions or tell you what's best. So everybody had a different experience. I mean, the same traveling, but it was. They had different places where they met them and different results when they first met them.
Yeah.
So that's what I would advise people. Do a meditation with the intent of meeting your warrior, because you're going to need to be connected to the warrior as you're moving through 2015, or you're going to be stumbling a lot and making choices that doesn't benefit you or the planet.
Yeah, so it's time to make good choices, people. And so one of the things you also came up with, you were discussing with me earlier, was the emotional awakening. the four stages of emotional awakening. So
that came through a couple years ago, actually, that I was teaching in a class. But it actually came through very, very strong on Sunday when we had this gathering. So that's part of, it's all part of the big picture. And what, I'll explain what the four stages of emotional awakening is. The only thing that's different is that it's more focused on moving you quickly into the big picture. I mean, we have hundreds, I think. Okay.
Yeah, I had a couple questions for you. So can you explain, too, to the listeners, what's the difference between our basic existence level of being emotional as opposed to an awakened state? I mean, like, I'm born, I have these experiences as a baby, and I get my emotional template. So what is the difference between an awakened state and just your basic person running around there having emotional experiences?
It's more of a focused and intent awareness. That's what it is. It's being aware of the four stages of the emotional awakening and not being so distracted by the hundreds of other emotions that you can have.
Okay.
And I notice most of the people, most of my students already have these emotions that they're focusing on or that's dominant in their personality. And the first one's empathy. I mean, you're seeing that a lot among people, especially healers and students, about they're empathic. A lot of empathic people have surfaced, and that's the first stage of the emotional awakening, is people will work with that, and then they'll learn that's what they are, but then you have to learn to work with it, or else it will be overwhelming, and you won't be able to move forward in your life. So that's why I had the four stages of it, that if you've come to the point where you know and understand that you're empathic, then I would ask you to move up the scale. And the next one is sympathy. Because the four stages that I've discovered in emotional spiritual awakening is empathy, sympathy, compassion, and respect. And I explained this Sunday that empathy, of course, we understand that is feeling somebody else's experience or pain. And sympathy is feeling it from a more distant point, is that you can sympathize with them because maybe you've had that experience already, and you can sympathize with them. And sympathy right away brings in judgment, because you have to sympathize with them, which is a judgment that they should not be experiencing this, and you feel sorry for them. So that would be your next step. And the one above that, of course, is compassion, where you understand that they're having an experience and your heart goes out to them, or you feel, but you're not really feeling the pain, and you're not judging it. You're not judging, well, you shouldn't be having this experience. Compassion is more about just being there and listening for the person and having them have someone to talk to. But there's another step that we're moving into in 2015, which was, it's been here a couple years, and I've been working with it, but there's a step that's beyond that we've not looked at. And that's called respect. And Sunday I talked about this. What that means is that you stop judging. Once you stop judging, then you can move into respecting the person for the choices they've made and the path that they're walking and the life that they've created. So when you get to that point where you could respect someone and not want to change them or not want to look at it like they shouldn't be doing that, they shouldn't have that experience, once you move out of judgment, you move right into respect. And that is the highest form. You're respecting another human being for the experience that they're having, because we don't know what their soul is here to experience. You know, when you stop judging, you could just respect that person and not have any emotion around it. When you tag your emotion into another person's experience or path, that's judgment. I mean, you can't get around not judging it if you're feeling any of the other three lower vibrations, which is empathy, sympathy, and compassion. And I just tell people, move it one more step further and respect them, you know, and then there's no emotional attachment to the other person or any judgment around it. It's just you respect the choices that they're making. And that's the highest form that we're going to move into. Hopefully it won't take too many years for us to get to that point. It's respecting people, and we don't do that because we don't want to look at their life, because when we judge it, we're going to feel one of these other emotions, the empathy, sympathy, or compassion. So we don't want to, so we turn away from him, like the bum on the street. You know, you could feel sorry for him, or you could feel his pain through your empathy, or you could have compassion. Well, this gentleman's having this experience. But move it to respect, because this person has made choices in his life. He signed up, or she signed up for this path to have this experience for their soul. So respect that, and you will gain so much freedom when you stop judging, when you just respect the person for their choices.
So
does that make sense?
Starting out, oh, absolutely, absolutely. What I'd kind of like to do here is move back through the four pieces and talk a little bit with you about them. When somebody is empathetic, we're all, oh, you should have empathy for somebody. And a lot of people misplace empathy and sympathy. An empath is someone who gets down and feels it with you. And they may be
yes.
so busy feeling what is happening or what is occurring that they're incapable of making a suggestion or separating
themselves from it. Yes, that's a perfect definition, that you become
yeah.
that person, and you can't, yeah, there's nothing you could do except feel that pain.
Right.
That's a
so
great
that's
explanation.
When
you thank
you
so much.
Oh, no problem. So that's when we see people in codependent relationships, right, or dead-end relationships, because, you know, they're so empathetic about the struggles. Oh, you know, he or she would be a perfect person if they could just get over this issue. Oh, I have to go home and help them with this. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Trying to change their path.
Yeah. So then the next step on the sympathy level is when you get this awareness of, well, I've had enough of that walling around. I'm sorry for you, but I'm moving down the path.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of what it is.
Feeling sorry for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that as healthy? I mean, is that healthier than empathy, or is it still not quite there, you know?
Well, I would
guess
ask everybody to move past the three emotions and just get to respect. You know, there's the four steps, but we could have, like, I'm an empath, but I also can feel empathy, I can feel sympathy, and I can feel compassion. All three of them are judgmental expressions, you know, but moving to respect, just lets go of all that other stuff. You know, you could just let go of it and just respect the person, which is, I think, what will evolve us and move us forward. Because I think that slows us down when we're doing
mm-hmm.
our own personal evolution or a collective evolution, is stopping and judging everything along the way is making us stuck or keeping us left behind. But when you could just totally respect a person and stop all the judgment, then you can move quicker on your own path as well.
So then the real thing that happens is ultimately you have to conquer judgment, you know, your
yeah,
wish to judge
it.
And categorize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well why did this happen
thinking,
to this
yeah.
person?
Right,
yeah.
You know, it's judging their path, and you know nothing about their soul's mission. You know, you're judging
That's
it from
right.
your perspective, you know, which has nothing to do with their perspective.
That's true. That's very true. That's the thing that I found when in doing criminal law, that a lot of people, when I first told them that, you know, I'm a legal assistant for a criminal defense attorney, oh, my gosh, you do this and you let all those people on the street, and how can you consort with those people? You very quickly in that job, and as an attorney, too, you move from empathy, sympathy, compassion, and up to respect. You have to respect them as a human being. You may not like the choices they made, you know, but you can't go into judgment about it because you're there to affect change or a result. You know, you're there
mm-hmm.
to assist. And
right.
probably a lot of what I learned about spirituality came through dealing with people and jail interviews and things like that. It's interesting,
wow.
huh?
Yeah, I couldn't do what you do, but I think that is very interesting. But, so that's the message that I hope to get through today, you know, is that people start moving into respect. And the only way you could do that is by judging your own actions and judging your own feelings. Instead of projection, you know, we got a lot, the projection card came up so many times Sunday, you know, that we're projecting. projecting our path or our judgment or our sympathy or our, any of it. We're putting it on another person, which isn't the highest form of evolution. You know, it isn't.
No.
It's not our right to do it either.
That's right. You know, somebody's path is their path. And, I think that that's the most beautiful message to take out of this is to learn to be comfortable in your own shoes and stop insisting that other people fit into them. You know,
I did want to bring up before we end is that where I see this most, I will say it most, is parents and their children. And children and the parents. Either way, that the parents judge what path their children should walk on, as well as the children judge their parents as not being the best parents and seeing all the fault that they could see in their parents, so they could project onto their parents why they're not taking responsibility for their life. You know, so I see that with children, and I see it with adults too, you know, both ways, whether it's the parents thinking that the children should follow a specific path, you know, to success, whatever they define that to be, and it's the same thing. You have to move to respect whatever choice they're making, whether you agree with it or not. That's the highest form of evolution, is totally respecting that person. And I mean for children with their parents and parents with their children, both ways, because there's so much expectation that happens when there's that connection between parent and child.
Absolutely.
That we have to respect them. And the thing that I will guarantee, when you learn to totally respect people, not just your kids or not just your parents, you will be free, because judgment keeps you in confinement of your small path and how everything looks from your angle, and allowing nothing else to be created. So I would just tell people that it brings you freedom. You are so free when you let go of all of that judgment and just respect a person and their choices, no matter where they are or who they are. You have to respect it.
Excellent.
So I did
want
to get that
Linda.
Across. And I know you want to talk about some astrology too, because lots of things are happening.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly talk. We're deep in the throes of Mercury retrograde right now. That's in Aquarius. And again, like I was telling Linda, that's abstract thoughts and concepts are a little bit easier to understand in Aquarius, in the big picture. When you're in a Mercury retrograde, remember your rules are, what are our words? Repeat, review, reuse, recycle, renew, revisit, reconfigure. So that's what you should be doing. Take your projects, lay them out on a table, and take them apart, because this is an invaluable time to be doing that. On January 27th, talking about being supported by the universe, Venus moves into Pisces, where she's been a little bit footloose and fancy-free in Aquarius. Now she's centered down in compassion and sympathy. Ha-ha. So watch this,
uh-oh,
guys. And what you have to watch is that bleeding heart phenomenon and the codependency issues, because it's real easy to love too much in the wrong way when Venus is in Pisces. You do have a lot more intuition, so go with your gut instincts on things, but get creative. And try
Isn't
to
that interesting that,
love-
that all we talked about was these four stages, and that's what's happening in the universe as well.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The intuition and sympathy, amazing.
Yes, it is. That's why, you know, you got to look at all this stuff. No, that's fine. So get creative and remember, take that love to the highest level, agape people, unconditional love, and use that for yourself. On the 3rd, we've got a full moon in Leo. That's a very strong emotional moon. And it's sky is the limit thinking here. It's also a very charismatic moon, because that's Leo. Leo is out there strutting his stuff. You're walking with a king when you're walking with Leo. So it's time to be open, strong, and put yourself out there as you're manifesting, as you're bringing things in, for yourself and for the world. You know, remember that, guys. Okay, I'm in. I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, okay. one last thing I wanted to put in that, since I talked about parents and children, I do want to remind couples it's the same thing. Couples is the hardest, because we have an idea of what our marriage or our relationship should look like, and we know we're really affected by the choices that our partner makes, but try to move it up to respect your partner for the path that they've chosen, because we're all walking individual paths, even though we're crossing through partnership. And,
right.
And that will change your relationship right there, is just respect your partner's choices.
Excellent.
So that's my
excellent
last question.
Excellent
show
today,
so.
My dear. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Wow, it went
yeah,
fast,
this is
huh?
good information. Yeah.
Okay, everybody,
so
go out
doing?
There and respect. Go out there and use your respect muscle. That's right. And we'll talk to you next week at Friday at 8:30.
All righty.
Thank
have
you,
a great
everybody.
Week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.